Is well, the truth of I know this is often said at the beginning of a message, but I really don't think I have anything to add. sometimes you come and God touches this bit and says something about it. You don't thank you, you've just taken all of that. And then the day it was like, that was my first point, that's my second point, that's my third point. What's the point? And the truth is, what you're going to be hearing now is a lot of what you've already heard, all right? But my prayer is that God will just cement it into your heart. Yeah? And make you think again, make you open up your hearts to say, yes, Lord God, that's true. Because all these things that you've been hearing this afternoon is the truth. And what does it say in the word? The truth will set you free. Now, if you want to be used of God, if you want to see God moving, start believing the truth. Start taking hold of that truth and saying, God, I want this to be true in my life. I want to be in such a walk with you that it's real. You see, because I think what can happen sometimes, and I know I fall into this trap sometimes, that we can compartmentalize Jesus.
Yes, we can.
And there used to be a song years ago, and this would be the older people now, Bette Midler sang. And it was a song called From a Distance. And there's a line in it that says, God is watching you from a distance. That's not true.
Cliff Richard.
He also sang it, yes. But it's not true. You see, if you're in the wrong place, you'll have a wrong perspective. If you get in a right place with God, we'll have a right perspective.
Yes, that's right.
And that's the problem sometimes, that we haven't got the right perspective. Because we say, almost like, well, Jesus, yeah, I believe you're here on a Sunday. But when it comes to going home and you enter your house, it's almost like Jesus isn't there. Or you go to the workplace and Jesus isn't there. Well, that's not true.
No, it isn't.
The perspective is Jesus is with you.
Yes.
Jesus goes into every single thing with you. He is involved in your life in a way that we haven't probably even imagined yet.
Mm.
He's wanting to do things. He's willing to do things. What we've got to do is grab hold of the truth of what Jesus says. What does Jesus say? Well, let's have a little look in a minute at Philippians 2, 1 to 11. But January was great. Wasn't January great? And still is, obviously, because we're not in February yet. But when you just think back, we had Trevor came to us, talked about being in Christ, didn't he? And the wonder of that. And then you had Nigel coming, with the first two of these sermons from Philippians 2. And they were great. And they are great. But he's been talking about Paul. Now, Paul was great, wasn't he? I mean, just hearing what Nigel was saying to us last week and the week before. With Paul, Jesus was the center of his life.
Yes.
Everything he did was for Jesus. Once he had that encounter with Jesus, everything changed. Everything changed. And for him, it was sharing the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? It's the good news about Jesus.
Yes.
Why Jesus came. Why the kingdom of God came. Why God came onto this earth. And he couldn't help himself in every situation, wherever he was, whether it was before a governor, whether it was in a prison, he wanted to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Because he knew how great it was to have this God in his life.
Yeah.
And he wanted everybody to know about it. And here we are, we have Paul coming to the Philippians to, if you like, encourage them, but not only encourage them, but begin to open up their hearts and minds to this God. Who he was, what he's done. So 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. I feel some already struggling. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Sure.
Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Wow! I'm glad you're not shining anything, because I'll be going in and out of that. Now, what's that doing in you? I mean, if you look at that 1 to 11 there in Philippians 2, I don't know about you, but I almost thought to myself, I've got about six sermons here, you know, out of what was written there. And you think to yourself, I've got to push this all into. So 25 pages has become, no, it's not true. It was just so difficult to say, God, what do you want me to say today? What do you want me to take out of this that I can share? And I want to try and click into what Paul was doing, because here he was wanting to share with the Philippians just what Jesus was like. From those verses in 5 to 8, how he longed to do them good. What his desire was, it was always to please the Father. And that Jesus came to serve, that the purpose of God would be revealed. That's why Jesus came. And as I was looking at those verses 5 to 8, it struck me that Jesus chose to be human. Why did he do that? So that he could identify with us in every way.
Yeah.
Jesus chose not to lord it over people. And he had every opportunity to do that. Jesus chose to humble himself and become a human being. Jesus chose to be obedient that he might fulfill the purpose of God. Jesus chose to die. Why? For you and for me. And this is encapsulated, if you like, in Matthew 26, where it says, not my will, Lord, but your will be done.
Yeah.
Jesus was totally committed to the purpose and will of God.
Yes, he was.
No matter what came across his path, he said, I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to serve the purpose that you have for me, Father.
Amazing.
He came to us that we might be reconciled with Father God. What are these truths doing in you now? That we be brought into a right place with God. That we might have a right perspective with God and in God. God took on a human form in Jesus that we might know God. Jesus said in John 14, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
We are given insight into who God is and how he acts by looking at Jesus.
Yeah, it's true.
Now hang on to your hats now. Here we go. Jesus is coming as a servant and humbling himself is huge.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, that's huge. It's gigantic. It's mega. It's universal. However big you want to say it is, this is huge. The one who was there at the beginning, who was part of the universe coming into being, putting the stars into space, putting the moon and the sun, oh, and then bringing everything out into the earth. Oh, dear me, that sounded worse, didn't it?
You are.
You've got proper sound.
Well, this is what happens when you get excited. No, but brothers and sisters, we got to grab hold of how huge this is. The very God came in human form onto this earth. Why did he do this? He did it for us. He did it for all humankind. Everyone, whether they be in that house, whether they be wherever they are, everyone can know God because of Jesus, because of all he's done. If you don't know God this morning, Jesus came and he died for you to be able to know God.
Yes.
And this afternoon as well. Jesus was always pointing people towards the Father. He was getting his disciples to look at the bigger picture. And that's what we've got to do, brothers and sisters. We've got to look at the bigger picture. Right. Don't get sucked into just looking here and now.
That's right.
Look at the bigger picture. Ask God to reveal that bigger picture to you. Not just the now, but also the future. Get that bigger picture about the future of this church. And what's my part? What's my part in it? Do you even believe that you have a future with God? Do you believe you have a part to play in the purposes of God?
Yes,
true. Because we've got to grab hold of these things, brothers and sisters. We've got to grab hold of them and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In your prayers, you've got to say, God, you can use me.
Yeah.
Because you chose me. You called me. You died for me. You picked me. Therefore, there's something that you want me to do.
Very good.
Jesus was always drawing the disciples up. He was getting them to look out of themselves. Brothers and sisters, look out of yourselves and look to Jesus. He was always getting them to look out of themselves and into the limitless expanse of all that was available to them. Do we honestly understand? I don't. But God, show it me. Let me be part of it. The limitless expanse of all that is available to us as the children of Almighty God. That they too could be used of God. And you too can be used of God.
Yes.
This is true of us here and now. Whether you're in this room, whether you're in your home, whether you're in your workplace, you can be used of God. You have the limitless expanse of all that God is and has at your availability. If you only believe, ask and receive. That's what it says in Matthew. You see, Jesus was clear in his position in God and with God. John 8:28 says, I only speak what the Father gives me to speak. Later on in John, it goes on to say, I only do what I see the Father doing. You see, Jesus was part of this servant attitude. He was totally wanting to be obedient to the Father.
Yeah.
So therefore he said, I'm only going to speak, God, what you give me to speak. And I'm only going to do, I'm not going to pray for every Tom, Dick and Harry. I'm going to pray for those that you tell me to pray for. Those that you're already working something in. So that when I can come with confidence. I can come with faith. Because you're showing. And why was Jesus doing that? Why was Jesus being obedient? Why was Jesus just wanting to, as it were, make sure that the will of God was being done? Because he wanted to please the Father. It says that in John 8:29. Jesus takes joy in pleasing the Father. That should be the thing that pushes us forward. God, what can I do to please you today? When I go out of this house, what can I do to please you? Is my attitude going to be right this morning? When I enter that workplace and I meet up with the one person I knew I'd meet up with, because I knew he was going to be the one who would wind me up this morning, how do I react to that? Do I become like Jesus? Or do I go for him, hook, line, and sinker? You know? Because at the end of the day, these things are the things that we have to deal with day by day, hour by hour. But we must be first off seeking to be obedient to whatever God's saying to us, wanting us to do. Because obedience, as we see in Philippians 2:8, was a major place, had a major place in Jesus' life. Even to the point of death, even to going to the cross. Jesus, again and again, was determined to fulfill the purpose that the Father had planned for him. And that's important for us. If you're born again here today, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we have to have obedience as a major part of our lives, that we might fulfill the purpose that the Father wants us to fulfill. Why we were called. So how then should these things help us to live and fulfill God's purpose for each of us here and now? I just love the way Paul starts this chapter in Philippians 2:1. And this is why I said you could have an N number of sermons. Because he starts off by saying, if you have any encouragement from being united with and in Christ. Well, there's a sermon in itself. Because, brothers and sisters, every time we think of the truth of who we are and what we have in Christ, and that we're with Christ and that Christ is in us, that should spring forth in us an encouragement at the very least.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want that, if you want a bit of homework, Ephesians 1, grab hold of Ephesians 1, we've already been through it with Trev, but, you know, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing.
Yes.
In Christ, we have been redeemed, we've been forgiven, and we've been chosen to be heirs. That's just a few things. In him, we're more than conquerors. This should be encouraging you, brothers and sisters. Your heart should be saying, oh, is he talking about me? Yes, I am talking about you. I am talking about you this morning. And this afternoon again. I think I've caught this off you from last week, haven't I? And then he goes on to talk, do you have any comfort in his love? Any security in his love? You only need one verse. And grab hold of that one verse, and that should never have a problem again in your life. And that's Romans 8:39. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Full stop. That's what it says, doesn't it? So, if no more, that should give you comfort. That should give you security. Because I can't be separated from the love of God. I'm always in His love. No matter where I am, no matter what I do, I'm in His love. God loves me. And then he talks about having fellowship with the Holy Spirit, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Well, it didn't take me very long, and I'm sure for those of you who've got fellowship with the Holy Spirit or a relationship with the Holy Spirit, to know you cannot do that from a distance. You cannot have a fellowship and a relationship with the Holy Spirit from a distance. Because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit's in us. And the Holy Spirit's with us. So it's not a distance. It's now in you, today. Just like Jesus chose, we too have to choose. We have to be determined to live in the good of our position and the truth of who we are. We, brothers and sisters, have an obligation to delve into the Word of God. We have an obligation to do that. Because brothers and sisters, you can come to these services, you can hear whoever's at the front talking to you, but you need your own relationship with Jesus. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to know what the truth is about you, who you are, how Jesus can work in your life, how Jesus helps you to live your life. So we can live in the good and with understanding of what it means to be in Christ. There is so much in Paul's letters about how great it is to be in Christ. To know His love, to enjoy fellowship and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there, having that relationship. We're also to bring each other through to an understanding of all that God has, all He's done, all He is doing, and all He will do in and through them. We're to encourage one another. So how do we do this? Well, each of us is to be available, humble, eager to please God, and looking to be used. Because each one of us can be used of God.
Yeah.
So what we should be saying in the mornings, again, is, I'm going out to this, I'm going there, I'm in this situation. How can you use me? How can you use me, Lord? I'm available for you to come. I want to please you. I want to be obedient to what it is you want me to do today. You see, just like Jesus had a servant attitude, we're to learn to have that same attitude, to be a servant. So believe it or not, we are not in this just for ourselves.
Yes,
that's right. It's not all about me. Okay, if you think it's about me, well, not about me, about you. But if you think it's all what God's got, God's doing things in you that you can actually affect other lives. That you can actually touch other people's lives. Yes, we're here to serve God, but we're also here to serve each other. We are to reach out, to bless and encourage, strengthen and build up. We're to be loving and caring for those around us, in and outside the church. That little blue leaflet, Regions Beyond's vision, says this: we are here for one another's success.
Yes.
To ensure and enjoy each other's success. And that's true for each one of us. In fact, I think it would be good for you to turn to the person next to you and say, I am here for your success. Say that to somebody. I'm here for your success. See, we're here for one another. We're here for one another to enjoy Jesus, but also to enable one another to know Jesus in a more profound way, if you like.
Yes.
And success starts from us. Sorry. Success comes from knowing God through the Word and knowing our position in Christ and who we are in Christ Jesus. That's where success starts.
Yes.
If we will understand that, if we will step into the truth of that, then as we share with one another, we will encourage one another. We'll make people feel, ooh, I love being with that person. Because every time I go away from them, I just feel, yeah, I can take on the devil. You know, I can take on a demon. Because Jesus is in me. And you can start to see things happen. The Holy Spirit and the Word are sent to encourage and strengthen and build us up in the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. You see, God has a plan for each of our lives. Brothers and sisters, shake your head a bit so that it clears up a bit so you hear this again. God has a plan for each of our lives.
Yes.
Amen.
So no matter what's happening in your life at the moment, God has a plan for each of our lives. A part of this plan is to help and instruct, to serve and encourage one another. To help each other to know more about God, who he is and what he does. To encourage one another to trust God in situations. To encourage one another to receive and live by the Holy Spirit. If you have never been prayed for the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, can I urge you, when we have opportunity at the end, just ask somebody to come and pray with you for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Your life will change.
Yeah.
Your life will change when he comes in. Things are totally different. Hebrews 3, 12 to 13 says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily." And that's basically what Tim was saying. That we just remind each other of those prophecies. You know, encourage one another. Don't let it go. You know, God said it, so don't let it go. Keep bringing it back to one another.
Yes.
So that we don't start, you know, we're not seeing it. Oh dear, oh, where's God in all of this? You know. God is right here in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Right, God is right in the middle of all that's going on at the moment. He knows exactly what's going on. In fact, I would go as far as to say he's already working on the people that will be in this church.
That's true.
Wherever they are in Wrexham or in the outer villages or even in the towns that are around us, because some may come in and because they're going to be part of a plan. You know, and we've got to believe that, brothers and sisters. Yeah. Our God is big enough. Well, I think he is big enough, and he is doing it.
Yeah.
He is doing it. We can't see it, but we can have faith because we know God does that sort of thing. We can see from the Gospels that Jesus was one who encouraged, strengthened, directed, and instructed those around him. Part of what Jesus did with the disciples, wasn't he? Jesus called the disciples to follow him and to serve him. And he says exactly the same thing to us today. To follow him and to serve him. And that's, if you like, the crux of it. At the end of the day, we're to follow Jesus. Jesus is to be our example. Jesus is to be the one that we actually look at and say, Jesus, that's how I want to be. That attitude is the attitude I desire. Teach me. Help me to learn how to be like you in different situations. He chooses us and sets us apart to serve him and fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Jesus does that. Jesus has chosen you. What we have available in the kingdom of God is far greater than anything this world has to offer.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, can you see that? That what we have in the kingdom of God is far greater than anything this world has to offer. But what about the £65 million lottery? We could do so much with that. For a kingdom. Slapdash. You'll go further and further away from God once you've got it. I'll guarantee that. Because I've seen people with money. I've seen people go away from God because of money. Money isn't the answer. The answer is full life with Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. Knowing that Jesus, the King, has to be our example. He has to be the one that we strive, if you like. Though I don't like using the word strive. But he's the one that we need to be pushing ourselves towards. To say, Jesus, I want to be like you. Jesus, I want to know you. Because it's only in him, and it's only through him, that we can know the way to live our lives. If you want to live your life victoriously, it's in Jesus. If you want to live your life as a conqueror, it's in Jesus. If you want to have a victorious life, it's in Jesus. And Jesus doesn't leave us alone. I said earlier on about the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. One who was just like him. And why did the Holy Spirit come? He came to empower. He came to equip. He came to strengthen us. Each one of us. That we might fulfill the purpose of God. What God has for us to do. So we're not on our own. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have each other. Philippians 2:13, treading on next week's sermon. God is at work in you to will and to act according to his purpose. I just want to say, I want to, if you like, exaggerate one word. And that is. Is. That is. God is at work in you. Why is he doing that? To will and to act according to his purpose for your life. God is at work in you this afternoon. God is at work in you. God is at work in you. God is at work in you. So will you develop a listening ear? When you're reading the Word of God, how about asking God, what are you saying to me, God, in this passage? What are you saying to me about yourself? What are you saying to me about how I can live life with you? When others come alongside you and say, look, I just want to help you, I want to instruct you, I want to help you to live your life better, then can I encourage you to have an attitude that says, I need to listen to these people. I need to listen to these people because God sent them to me. Instead of saying, no, I want to hold on to this. Whatever that might be, I just want to hold it. I don't need your help. Thank you very much. And when you pray, remember, it's a two-way conversation. Sometimes we need to be silent. We need to let God in to the conversation. Otherwise, he might put the receiver. No, he won't put the receiver down. No, it's important for us to start to listen to what God wants to say to us. Because he wants to encourage us. He wants to build us up. He wants us to fulfill the purpose that God has for me and for you. We also need to develop obedience. When God says something in his word, let's choose to believe it, to stand on it, and to do it. So if we believe these prophetic words are from God, we need to start believing them. standing on them and start doing.
Yes, true.
If we believe they're from God. If you don't believe they're from God, then you can stay sat on your bottom and carry on. But obedience, sorry, I hope that wasn't too offensive. It could have been a lot offensive. Obedience is a doing thing.
Yes, it is.
We can only be obedient through action. Any servant that was worth his salt knew when the master called, he moved. The last thing he would ever do would say, oh, I can't be bothered. Or sit there and, is he talking about you or me? No, he was straight away. The master's voice. We need to be like that. When God says something to us, wants us to do something, wants us to be involved in something, then let's be on the front foot. Because God's looking for those who want to be used. For those who will give themselves to the purpose that God has for their lives. Are we ready to serve Him? Are we ready to serve each other? That the body will be edified, built up and strengthened. Look around you. As I finish, just look around you. Even in this room now, just look around you. God might be calling you to get involved in somebody's life. Why? Because we're family. We are family. Whatever you want. However it goes.
Next slide.
I've got a clue.
I've got all my sisters with me.
Well, I have. And my brothers.
And we'll see. We'll finish in that final song.
You see, the very least you can do for someone is to pray for their situation. Yeah, or the circumstance they may go in, or a need that they've got. That's the very least we can do as brothers and sisters, as part of the family that we are. You see, Jesus had his eyes set on the prize. What was his prize?
Us. Yes.
Now the question is, do we have our eyes set on the prize? What's our prize? Jesus. That is the question today. Where are our eyes? What is our perspective? Jesus made choices. The question is, are we ready to make choices today? Choices that will enable us to grow in Christ. Choices that will enable us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Choices to serve one another so that we all might succeed. And can I encourage you, and you might find this difficult, but can I encourage you, for those who weren't in the room, i.e. the little ones, and who wasn't in the room? Who's out with the children?
Rachel
and the little ones. Somebody or a couple of people, can I encourage you to go to them and say, we're here for your success. Yeah, we're here for your success. Because we want to see them grow up into Christ.
Amen.
We want to see them fulfill the purpose of God for their generation.
Me.
You as well, yes, bro. So we must make choices. Choices to say, brothers or sisters, I need help. Will you humble yourself before God and say, I can't do it, but with you, Lord, I can.
Yes.
But with you, Lord, I can.
Yes.
So I just want us now, if you like, if you guys would like to come up. Now this is, I only just spend a short time doing this, but I'd love us if we could, just to spend some time in prayer. And what I mean by that is just to pray for one another. If you've got a need today, if you've got something that's on your heart that's weighing you down, then this is the opportunity now just to come. And brothers and sisters will get around you and pray for you that you might be able to get your eyes fixed afresh as it were on Jesus, that you might see those things change in your household, in your workplace, as Mike was talking about earlier on, you know, just seeing God move in those situations. So I think it would be good, as we're just having this song, just to turn maybe to one another and just say, would you like prayer? Now, this could be over in 30 seconds, or we could really go to work with the Holy Spirit and see people's lives changed. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, then take this opportunity to ask somebody to pray for you for that. And if you haven't given your lives to Jesus, then take this opportunity just to come to somebody and say, look, I need to know Jesus. I need to know where I stand in God. Because this is just going to be an opportunity for us to minister one to another. So we'll take 3 or 4 minutes, not a great deal of time, but just allow God to work into your different situations. You might have an illness today. Well, it's not an ideal opportunity for you to be praying for that. Seek God, move and bring healing into that situation.